Today's talk is on capital gains tax, current issues, and the planning opportunities, the top 10. Capital gains tax has become maybe the single most important strategy planning area for people whose estates are under just under $11 million, husband and wife, or just under $6 million, $5.5 million, $5.43 to be precise, for single individuals. Why? Because for estates in excess of that, then you'll have estate tax, and so the estate tax rates are 40%, and then you'll have state estate tax in Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey are some examples. Florida, Wyoming, California do not have state estate tax, but the notion here is that if you're under the $5 million exemption, your tax on your assets is materially lower when you pass away than the gains tax on those assets that you have when you give them away or when you sell them when you're alive. So the emphasis for estate planning lawyers, for clients who have under $11 million in net worth combined or under 5.43 individually, is to say, what can we do to minimize the gains tax issues which people are suffering with versus estate tax? How does this work? So in the old days, and still today, when you pass away, the assets that you have in your estate, the basis, what you originally paid for them, get stepped up to the value at the date of death, so that when your family members and your loved ones sell those assets at the time of your passing, they don't pay any gains tax on it because the basis, meaning what you originally paid for it, gets reset to the date of death. That was always an important value. In the old days, and that means as recent as 2 years ago, gains tax was only 15% on the federal level and 10%, under 10% on the state level in the states that we have a gains tax, and there was no Obama Medicare surtax for the Obamacare. And the result today is gains tax is so significant that now the total amount is closer in some states to 32-33%. And the net result is that when we have given away assets during lifetime, those assets do not enjoy the step-up in basis, do not enjoy the step-up in basis. Many of you have given assets away during your lifetime into trusts, and those assets now have a basis that was back when you originally purchased them. We forfeited the opportunity to do any gains tax planning way back when we did the gifting because we were more concerned about estate tax. And we figured get the assets out of your estate, avoid the estate tax on the growth, and on the state estate tax on those assets today, giving them away today. But we always knew we had a long-term capital gains tax along the way. And so, but that was 15% versus 50% on the estate tax side. Today, many of you who have assets below the $11 million number gave away the beach house, gave away a portion of the business, gave away some appreciated stock in a private equity position or in a hedge fund interest or just maybe a chunk of Exxon stock when you were a senior executive. And so you put those into trust, and yes, those are continuing to grow, but you're coming back to folks like us and saying, hey, there is no estate tax on these assets because my entire estate, even the piece that I gave away, is under $11 million. But now I've got a problem with gains tax, and now the gift that you have given, that I've given into trust, will be subject to gains tax when I pass away. This begs the most important quote that I've heard from my colleagues this year, which was, I've spent the first 25 or 30 years of my career pushing assets out of my estate now to find myself in a position and my client's estate out in a position where I'm now trying to pull those assets back into the estate. So that when our clients pass away, because they're below the $11 million exemption, they're not paying estate tax, and these assets back in the estate will avoid gains tax because they'll get a step up in basis. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not the most simple thing that we've done, but it is among the most sophisticated planning we can do for those modestly large estates, those estates that are under $11 million. It is also the reason why we as a firm have taken such a significant investment in this area that we have created an income tax planning group for this work so that we can advise you on this and look at your assets during the year that you may consider selling versus assets we would say keep those in the estate and let them get the step up in basis. What is basis? Number one, cost basis is the original value of the acquisition. It is adjusted for stock splits if it's a stock, dividends, return on capital if it's a private equity investment. It is the original value determined for the gain. It is assets that have high basis are things like cash. There is no basis. It's not growing or appreciating. In fact, if anything, cash depreciates through inflation, right? So a dollar today is worth less 4 or 5 years from now. But the more important piece here is that those things that do appreciate, we're frozen at the original price. If you earn things like commercial property, in addition to the original basis, so if you paid $1 million for a piece of property or equipment for your company, the IRS allows you to depreciate that two ways. One is over its useful life or for real estate over a 30-year period, but there are ways to accelerate that depreciation, and that depends on the specific items within the real estate, like equipment and so forth, so that you can fast forward those tax benefits. When you depreciate, you reduce your basis. So when you sell, you have a much significantly higher gain. Your gain is on what the current basis is at the time of the sale versus the sale price, less any expenses. If you improve the property, that adds to your basis. If you depreciate the property and take tax benefits because of the notion that the property will need work going forward, so that's depreciation, that's the IRS's answer to it, you lower your basis. Okay, striking while it's hot. So the step up in basis, this is number two, the step up in basis for the readjustment in value is significant. What can we do to get the step up in basis? Well, the most important thing is when you pass away, we can get a step up in basis because the IRS says you're already paying estate tax. Maybe you're below the exemption amount, so you'll avoid it, but we're going to give everybody the free let to have the step up in basis. So number two here is to say, what can I keep in my estate so that when I pass away, the basis will get reset? It is a very common thing for the sophisticated clients who are watching their business assets to sit with us and to say, this is one we want to keep in the estate. Okay, number three, transfer up to get capital gains down. This is what we call upstream gifting. So for some of our clients, they have family members who are older, and they may be advanced middle age, they may be in their 80s or their 90s, and their estates are modest. And so an opportunity here is called an upstream gift, where you would take an asset that you own that is lower basis, meaning you bought it for $200,000 and now it's worth $1 million, and you will move it into trust for your father or your mother, and you've made a gift. That $1 million gift. Well, you'll use your $5 million exemption by moving that asset to your parents. It will then remain with them for their lifetime, but when they pass away through the trust, that asset can then pass down to you, can pass down to your children in a generation-skipping tax-free trust, but the basis will get reset. So by doing this, you'll have a $200,000 basis, which you originally paid, a property that's worth $1 million for easy math here. So you have an $800,000 gain at a 33% tax. We're looking at over $250,000 of gains tax. By moving this asset upstream and having it gifted back to you on their passing, you have saved a significant tax. If you take that number and you go $2, $3, or $4 million, that $250,000 of gain becomes a $1 million gain. In the end, you're limited to how big a gift you can give to your folks because you're limited to how big a gift you can give to anyone. And right now, the amount you can give away is the same amount you can pass free of tax when you pass away, and that's $5.43 million. But you could also give a fraction of that asset to your father or your mother or a loved one and give them 50% of it. And so half of that property will get a step-up in basis. More of that in a minute. For us, number four is this is where we think one of the most significant work will be done, at least in the coming years. We're watching what's going on, of course, in the Republican and the Democratic camps. We're seeing some candidates identify that they want to evaporate the gains tax, or rather the estate tax, from $5.43 million and reduce that. Several years ago, there was an article in the New York Times of an individual who was in an inner city who had a food stand and said, I don't think it's appropriate to have estate tax. I have built an estate worth $800,000, and there should be no tax. I want it eliminated. What he did not know at that time was that he will never be paying estate tax because the $1 million exemption is so far away. But that many people worth $2, $3, $4, $5 million are also not paying tax, and when husband and wife add together, it's $10 million, and now close to $11 million. So the question here is, will certain politicians wake up and say, no estate tax for estates under $1 million? That is a modestly wealthy person. But for more extreme affluence, $2, $3, $4, $5, $6, $10 million of assets, they will pay estate tax. That wasn't many years ago. President Obama was not able to get the, did not have the political capital, thank goodness, for those of you, to undermine that. But he is working with other areas to try to reduce the strategy. One of those is with GRATS. Another one is coming out with new regulations on partnerships, where we've been able to take discounts and move more money into trust for loved ones. Now it looks like that is in real jeopardy. We're expecting guidance on the new Treasury regulations on discounts for partnerships going forward. The key piece here, though, is that right now, front and center, while those things are happening on the estate tax side, we still must address what is confronting us front and center right now as this train comes down the track, and that is this 33% gains tax. So how can we work to address this? First of all, if you want to sell something right now, if you've had assets in joint names and your spouse has passed away, for us, all of you, we've made sure that their half interest in the beach house, their half interest in the primary residence, all get the step up in basis. That is important. So that the house that you bought in 1965 or 1990, those of you who own the townhouses worth $8 or $10 million in Brooklyn that you paid $70,000 for, when one of your spouses has passed away, at least we've got the basis step up there. We must file a return, as we've done for all of you, and we must give them an appraisal, and we want to reset the basis for your spouse's passing as high as possible so that that gain is absorbed and we avoid the tax. There are also certain situations where we have community property, and those allow a step up on both husband and wife. Nothing in the Northeast, those of you who we represent on the West Coast, and in Tennessee is another example on the East Coast here, we have opportunities to create certain trusts called JEST Trust, Joint Step-Up Trust, which allow you to put assets into trust, and when one spouse passes away, the entire asset gets a step-up in basis. Why is that important? Why? Because you may decide that the beach house you no longer want to own or the primary residence is too big for you now that you are your spouse has passed away. But the gain historically has been so large and the basis so low that you didn't want to pay the gains tax. By putting these assets into trust, only one spouse need pass away and the entire basis can be reset. Last December, we were on the cover page of the weekend section of the Wall Street Journal presenting this idea. And we believe it may be one phenomenal opportunity for a husband and wife who have a modest amount of worth, somewhere in the $4, $5, $6, $7 million of assets to get the step up for both spouses. Very, very important piece here. The next piece is gains tax just on the state level. So this is number seven. Number six, we have an opportunity here to avoid the state gains tax. And how do we do that? Well, in the tri-state area, we have gains tax. But if we can move your assets into a trust where there is no gains tax, then the new home of your asset is the home of the trust. Delaware, South Dakota, Nevada are places where we can avoid the gains tax on the state level. And by creating a trust in that state, we have to have a trustee in that state, and so typically it's an institution that will serve, and we have relationships in all these states that we're working with for you folks. We now are in a situation where, since the asset is situs, or its home is in Delaware, we're only paying the federal tax and we're not paying the state tax. If you have a gain of $2, $3, $4, $5 million, we'll pay the federal tax, but we can avoid the state tax, which is 10%. In the old days, we weren't so concerned about 10% because we were only paying 15% on the federal level. But now, with the Obama surtax, as previously discussed, we're well over 30. So if we can get settled in at under 20, that 10% could wind up being $1 million of gains tax that we can avoid. The trust has to be set up in these states for a few years. We can do this pre the sale, but even several years afterwards. And we've been dealing with some of the most sophisticated counsel in the investment houses in the New York area who have then tied in their Delaware counsel and South Dakota counsel. And so we think this is a great opportunity if you have a company or you have an asset that you want to move into trust. Okay? Number seven, spending time to save money. You, of course, can always exclude the gain, when it is your primary residence. And so right now, the exemption is $250,000 per person, but $500,000 per couple. So when we're figuring out basis for your home, we need to look at the improvements. So when you've done work, we need to see what capital improvements we have to raise the basis. So if you paid $1 million and now it's worth $3 million, but you spent $500,000 on improvements, well, your basis is no longer $1 million, it's 1.5, and your gain is no longer $2 million, it's $1.5 million, and your tax is no longer $600,000, $650,000, it's closer to $450,000. So the answer here is, for sure, we do not want to miss out on using your exemption. If you are widowed and you're tinkering with the idea of selling the house, if you sell it in the year that your spouse passed away through your representative, your executor, and often it's you, that's who we normally choose as the surviving spouse, you can file your joint return, sell the property in the year that you have, and you can capture both your $250,000 exemption and your spouse's, even though they're no longer living. So we feel that this is a very, very important piece. What is critical, though, is that you need to be living in the house 2 out of the last 5 years before you make the sale. So sometimes we have clients, and some of you have traveled overseas for a couple of years, and then you come back, and you've surrendered the residence for that period of time, or we've seen clients that have had their house their primary residence near a metropolitan area, but they have a country house or a beach house, and so they'll sell their primary residence, and then they will live in their beach house for 2 years, and then they'll sell that house as well. But they have to be in it 2 out of the last 5 years to capture that $500,000 gain. What other ways are there to minimize the tax? For us, one of our favorite ways, and it's been a continued mantra and a theme that we emphasize, and that is to give assets away, to plan the family mission, to create your own charitable entity. So for my wife and me, it would be the Rosemary and John McManus Family Foundation. And that, we believe, is so essential to creating a long-term mission for your family. If you have a $10 million estate and you left $1 million into a foundation where your loved ones are running it and they continue to give assets away with a donative pattern that you created during your lifetime, what more wonderful way to continue your gifting benevolence and largesse by having your children and your loved ones act. It is some of the best and most rewarding work that we're doing today. Well, as income tax rates go up, charitable giving increases as well because the tax benefits are greater because you're getting a deduction. What if we had an asset that had grown, a stock that we had bought at $500,000 and now has grown to $1 million? If we sell that asset, we now then pay 30% on that $500,000 gain. We paid $150,000, right, or more, and then we're netted out at $850,000. And then that net number is what goes in, a portion of which goes into our checking account, and we write out our checks for charity on an annual basis. There are churches, our temples, our mosques, our children's schools, Doctors Without Borders, all of these wonderfully important charitable institutions. But we're paying these charities with after-tax dollars. So the notion here is to give the asset before it's sold to avoid the tax. And for my wife and me, we have gifted appreciated stock directly to certain institutions, and so we get the full value. But that gets complicated, and too often I watch my wife reach into her pocketbook and write a check out of our checking account with after-tax dollars. The efficient way is to move assets into the family foundation. Get the full deduction up front, and then invest those assets. You can sell them. There's no gains tax. It continues to, the new investments continue to appreciate without tax. And your only responsibility is to give away 5% on an annual basis, a very low hurdle. In fact, many of you have given out more than 5%, and your portfolio has continued to grow, or you've gifted more year after year. There are limitations. The deduction is limited to 30% of your adjusted gross income as opposed to the 50%. You only get basis if you're using private equity. But these are all, meaning the original amount you paid, but yet these are all wonderful ways to have a tax benefit that you're otherwise deprived of. So we strongly encourage that. Maybe what you do is do a charitable manger trust where you move assets into a trust and you sell them, avoid the gain, get a deduction for the remainder gift, but during your lifetime inside the trust, you receive an annuity stream. And maybe after a period of time, the remainder goes into the family foundation. So you sell that asset, pay no gains tax, get a charitable deduction, enjoy an annuity stream from that asset, and then at the end, it goes into the foundation for which you're already making gifts and helping your loved ones with. A huge issue for us. Additionally, there are ways to postpone the gain by doing things such as 1031 exchanges. How does this work? Well, you have a piece of property that's an investment asset, and rather than paying the gain, the IRS allows you to take that asset and roll it into your next property and roll the gain over. You were able to do this for years with your primary residence, but the IRS said no more of that and said we'll give you an exemption amount provided you live in the house for a period of years, but you either use it or lose it and your new house the basis starts all over again. Today, you can take a property that has appreciated, roll the gain over into the new property. You have to create a separate third-party entity, create a separate LLC for that. The assets have to flow into that LLC, and then they would flow out after they're sanitized into the new purchase. And that exchange, pursuant to the IRS Code Section 1031, provides a wonderful way to postpone the gain. We have not reset the basis. We have the original basis of what you depreciated, of what you originally purchased the property for, but you've avoided paying maybe $1 million in gains tax by rolling it into your new property. You have to purchase that property within a very narrow period of time. Before you purchase that property, you have to identify three properties and put them on the list. It is very, very important the way you work those pieces out. Last piece, number 10, is to consider the tax-free possibilities that you have that can allow assets to gain and never pay the tax. One of them is a Roth IRA. As you might know, we have been big fans of Roth IRAs. One, to open them up, and number two, to convert Roth IRAs if you've met the income threshold if you've met the income threshold, and we can talk more about that off this call, where you pay the tax once and then the gains continue to grow and compound. Not only that, you can withdraw the money and pay no tax on the withdrawals, which under conventional IRAs you cannot do. The second piece of Roth IRAs is that you can postpone the mandatory withdrawal of those assets, and which will then, of course, when the withdrawals come, you have to pay the tax on the withdrawn amount in the form of pure income tax. But you can avoid that if you convert to a Roth IRA. So many of you have said, my goodness, I'm now in what we call pay status. I'm 70 and a half, and I've got to make withdrawals from my IRA, and now I'm continuing to add to my estate. I'm paying tax on the piece I'm withdrawing, and now that piece, which I don't need to use, any investments that I make from that with that withdrawn amount, sometimes it's a couple $100,000 that I have to take out on an annual basis, that piece will now pay tax going forward. Well, if you convert your IRA to a Roth IRA, there is significant tax up front, but then we're no longer required to make the mandatory withdrawals when you reach 70 and a half, and that asset can pass down to your loved ones. We think it's a wonderful opportunity. You also can invest in things like 529 college savings accounts. Always a battle here, an internal battle in the office, because we know the value of 529. We know that you can get saved state income tax if you invest in the 529s in the state you're in, but it is a very, very, very narrow opportunity to invest. It has to be educationally related, and we've heard you can use it for your, and we know you can use it for your children and your grandchildren, but it is something that when your children and grandchildren apply for colleges and are looking for any kind of aid or scholarships, if they're not in the same economic standing as you, they have to disclose the 529. Our view has always been to consider the use of a trust where that money goes in, and even though it's for your children and grandchildren, it does not have to be mandatorily distributed. And so under that set of facts, it isn't something that would be, in many instances when you're applying for college, would be something that would have to be included in the calculus. That being said, we still love the notion of 529s, that they compound free of tax. And so many of you who put in $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 are watching that compound very nicely without any tax drag. So it will have continued value because as tax rates go up, we are avoiding the tax drag on this piece. So in a very quick summary, these top 10 items are designed to have you continue to realize that gains tax and income tax rates, especially for those who are under the $10.8 million, sub-$11 million combined estate husband and wife, and $5.43 million for individuals. When you're in this category, the devil is less about estate tax there is a 10% tax typically. New Jersey is among one of the higher ones because the exemption is so low. But in the long term, it is the gain on all these highly appreciated assets that you may have had over your lifetime. And what are we doing to minimize what could be $1 million in gains tax on those assets? And so today is a quick summary on that. We bid you a wonderful rest of August. It has been a great summer for Rosemary and me. We've watched the kids playing lacrosse and soccer, and my daughter Allie is doing a triathlon when she heads down to Hopkins in the fall. So everyone is remaining active, not just intellectually, but physically. We wish that well for you, that same bit of good fortune for all of you, and hope to see you soon. God bless.